Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Last Sunday, I believe, Father Chicata went over with you the first precept of the Church to assist at Mass on Sundays, the holy days of obligation. And today's weather presents us with one of the great vicissitudes we must face and overcome in order to fulfill this precept and give God his due each week in holy day at its very beginning. But once you get here, you're pretty much home free. Now, that is not necessarily the case for our brethren who go to the other Latin masses in Cincinnati. And they are our brethren, although sometimes we have sincere differences with them. They are worthy of our esteem and of our respect, because the other churches that offer some form of a Latin Mass are all in older urban neighborhoods. And sometimes when you get to church, depending on circumstances, there could be a concern for one's own safety. I was thinking about that this week because I want to talk to you today about graffiti, of all things. Now, graffiti, writing on walls of buildings, is a characteristic of inner city neighborhoods. Sometimes it's just plain vandalism, and it makes life unpleasant for those who have to live in those circumstances. But sometimes, I don't know if that's the case in Cincinnati, but certainly in bigger cities, Los Angeles, New York, Brooklyn, it is used by different gangs. Blacks or Latinos, drug dealers, to mark their territory with initials or with symbols. And woe betide you if you belong to one gang and you enter the territory of an opposing gang, your life may be forfeit. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. And did you know that was pretty much the way people lived centuries ago? In medieval Italy, it was a land of bloody divisions. There were those who followed the Pope and those who followed the Emperor, the Ghibellines and the Guelphs, and they were divided. And then cities were all independent and used to wage war on each other. It would be as though Florence were to raise an army and send it across the river up to invade Cincinnati. What a way to live. And neighborhoods, too, were all marked off. Each neighborhood had its own distinctive symbol. And they, too, would often fight with each other. St. Bernardine grew up in such a city called Siena in Italy. Each neighborhood would mount a horse or a great race that took place in the summer called the Palio. It's a custom that continues to this day. But in the meantime, each neighborhood had its own graffiti in the mars. The walls were marked with them. One was a rooster for one area or a bull for another and so forth. And they would often fight with each other, too. St. Bernardine, growing up in that area, when he became a Franciscan priest and a great preacher, had the idea to take this graffiti and to change it and to use a new kind of an initial or symbol to get people not to fight with each other, because they're all Catholics, after all. And the symbol that he promoted is what we have today on the vestment and on this banner, IHS. Now, today we would use for the symbol of our Lord's name, the first letter of his first and last name would be JC. And the French often abbreviate our Lord's name that way, NS, JC, Notre Seigneur, Jésus Christ. But back then, what they would do, and I'm not sure why, but the way the Holy Name was abbreviated was to write out the first three letters of the name of Jesus in the Greek, and not just Greek, but the capital letters of the Greek alphabet. And that's where we get the IHS from, so it'd be the equivalent in our language of J-E-S, and that's how it was abbreviated. So Bernardine would go around, this priest would, and he would preach these wonderful sermons, getting people finally to live at peace with their fellow Christians and to lead a devout life, too, burning their gambling cards because people were addicted to that vice too and wasted a lot of money on it, as people do today. One time, a man who made his living printing playing cards complained to him. He said, "You're putting me out of business." And he said to him, "My friend, I'll give you a hint. Look, you start printing holy cards with the holy name on it, and you'll make a fortune." And he did, and he did. He became a very wealthy man. And at the end of these sermons that were attended by sometimes thousands of people, St. Bernardine would hold up a carved emblem of this J-E-S-I-H-S, the holy name of our Lord, and get people to come up as a sign that they were taking it seriously, and they would kiss the initials of our Lord, this golden emblem. And then there would be peace. He reformed society that way. Today, the holy name is pretty much by us taken for granted. It's a powerful name. It is the name of salvation. It is the name which is terrible to demons. And yet, it is a devotion which has almost died out. Those of you who are, as I, of a certain age, as they say, can remember the Holy Name Society in the old days. In the second Sunday of the month, there was the Holy Name Corporate Communion. I remember that after communion, the men of the society would pray together the litany of the Holy Name of Jesus. It is still a powerfully indulgent devotion. 700 days indulgence for the devout recitation of our Blessed Savior's name. But today, unfortunately, it has become an unholy name. Nobody is particularly shocked when his name, Christ's name, is taken in vain. We still teach our children at our school, do you, to bow their head when they hear the holy name of Jesus said. But today that holy name has been replaced with something else. How often are you going to hear tomorrow, depending on where you go, where you work, Jesus, Jesus Christ, or God, taken in vain all day long? Now just consider for a moment tomorrow, if at your workplace you were to start saying, when you check in the morning, nigger, or blankety blank Jew, or kike, how long do you think you'd make it? And yet, if you take the name of Jesus Christ in vain tomorrow, do you think anybody is even going to look askance for 1 second? Why, there was a big to-do last year because some black people made a movie in which they took the holy name of nigger in vain. And there was a big to-do of it. They weren't allowed to do that. You can't touch that. But one can think of very few movies that are made today in which the holy name of God's Son is not taken in vain. Thank God we have a devotion, which if we were aware of it and not so lazy, would be able to use in order to turn things around, first to make reparation, and then to draw down all the blessings of Christ's life and death and resurrection upon us, to offer up to God all the power of all the masses that are still said in the world today. That's the devotion to the Holy Name I am preaching to you this morning. But you know, it is a devotion which the church almost didn't get. And the reason for that was that of a certain controversy among Catholics and ensuing condemnations, because some things never changed. Here was St. Bernardine. He was a powerful preacher. He gave long, very lively sermons before huge crowds that were actually quite entertaining. They didn't have movies or TVs back then, and people came to hear him, and they ended up being very moved by what he preached. And at the end, he would hold up his emblem and promote this new devotion. Well, of course, there were critics. There always are. Some, including some of the clergy, said, why that priest is another Antichrist. Look at him, followed by these crowds of people, and he's promoting this newfangled devotion. What is this? The Dominicans in particular got on the scent of St. Bernardine. He belonged to the Franciscans. There's always a little rivalry between these two orders. The Dominicans, in the Latin, they were called the Hounds of the Lord, the Dominicanes, were the church's official watchdogs of orthodoxy. And in due time, St. Bernardine was denounced to Rome as a heretic. And he was summoned before the Pope, Martin IV, in the year 1427. He was silenced. He was forbidden to preach. And he was eventually put on trial for heresy. But it was a short trial because another saint, a great crusader against the Muslims, St. John Capistrano, who was also a Franciscan, came to defend his brother. And he spoke so eloquently at the trial that after a day, our saint was not only found innocent, but a papal bull was issued from proclaiming this devotion, and a great procession was organized in honor of the Holy Name through the streets of Rome. But talk about dogs with a bone. There are some Catholics, as we know, who just won't let things go. They keep on gnawing at that old bone. And that's how it was for St. Bernardine. As soon as a new pope was elected, he was accused once again, and again summoned, this time before Eugene IV, and again tried. And the second time he was exonerated, and for good. The lesson for us should be clear. If saints faced such crises, and we are great sinners, should we expect any better? There were true popes back then, but today is a great crisis of authority in the life of the church. We should never be discouraged by whatever this new year may bring in the way of controversies among Catholics. And as I say, we ought to respect our fellow Catholics, even though we must differ with them, because they love the church and mean to defend her. The problem always boils down to one of authority. There isn't any, and that's the reason why we're all at loggerheads so often with each other. Do not be scandalized by these divisions. It seems, though, that the popular idea is to hold that the Catholic Church can indeed teach error or promote something which is evil, and that therefore one needs to belong to a group, and then the guru or the leader of the group will give the interpretation. And most of all, it's important for many traditional Catholics to follow their particular group and their particular leaders, Father so-and-so or Mother so-and-so or Bishop, whatever. And then to condemn, of course, everybody else. Now, we have always tried here, and let us try again this year. We only try, though, just to be Catholics. If the Church teaches it, we follow it. If the Church condemns it, we stay away from it. That's a source of great peace, and it has a wonderful potential for unity. If we all just stayed in the Catholic Church, just did what the Church has always done. But in the meantime, of course, I'm afraid a lot of battles will continue. And while we Catholics fight with each other, out there our cities are indeed decaying. And in our country there are wars and rumors of wars. And society, swearing all the way, is going straight to hell. The solution was given by the angel when he told St. Joseph not to fear to espouse Mary and to call Mary's son Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Individuals and all of society can be saved by the power of this name. St. Francis de Sales says, as often as you say it, you offer up our Lord's whole life, you offer up all the masses of the world to God the Father. It's a tremendously powerful prayer in just two syllables. Let us say it, and say it not in vain. His name, lastly, remember, is a name of peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. While it is a terrible sin, and one we should rise up against, to hear people taking God's name in vain out of anger or surprise, or just using it as a filler in the sentence because they're so empty-headed they can't say anything else, it is, I fear, a far greater offense to our dear Lord to invoke his name in order to provoke divisions for the sake of pride or of personal power. But this name is the name of power, and it can conquer even these kinds of sins as it puts demons to flight and brings peace to hearts, to society, and to the church. Jesus, Jesus, Let us call upon him many times devoutly in the course of this new year and see what blessings this name brings. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.